Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Some would say that consistent performance is the key to business success or success in business. Sure, why not? The challenge is knowing, though, what you need to focus in on. You see, consistent performance is fine, but if you're doing the wrong things the wrong way with the wrong focus, you're going to get the wrong results. Does that make sense? What is the impact to our business and, you know, or the way that we're living or the life that we actually want? This is something that I spend a lot of time thinking about and discussing with my peers and clients. I'm a huge proponent of systems thinking and visually mapping out your present state and creating a future direction. Following a process, a system where you define the challenges and opportunities you have and then visually representing them helps create a roadmap to follow and implement. Heck, that is what my book, Set for Success, is all about. It's about creating a roadmap to transform your business. And it's really about visually mapping your business future so that you have clear implementation plans. But I don't think this is something we can do alone. And sometimes you need to work with a professional to help you through the process, to define your business problems, to help you create solutions and develop a plan. And the challenge comes with the implementation process. And any organization that I've worked with, it's always been the implementation process is sometimes where they have the biggest challenges. This is where consistent performance with focus is right to look at. It's the right things and is important. Ensuring you achieve the results you desire that you require. I think this is where systems thinking, performance thinking becomes sort of merged into one, is where you have to ensure that you focus on the right stuff and use someone to guide you through the process, whether a mentor, a coach, or a consultant. No different than being part of a football team or a hockey team or any other team, where focused effort, systems thinking, and consistent performance counts. And I think that's what our topic is today with my new friend, Tim Kist. Did I get it right? Kist. There we go. There we go. Okay, Tim Kist. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. Great to be here.
I'm actually glad to have you on the show also. You and I were just joking around before we started, and I do apologize about your last name because we were talking about it beforehand, and I have a higher habit of dropping an R into your last name.
That's okay. You're not the only one that's done something with it, and there's a lot worse than that.
we'll keep it in a very positive light in that respect. Tim, you know, I always like to start off the show with one very specific question to connect with the audience. Tell us a little bit about Tim.
I'm a born and raised Winnipegger, and my wife would say she's been married to the same husband for 28 years now.
And that's
her first
thing.
Husband, too,
okay.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Gwen's a delight. She keeps me in line. My friends always said that I punched way above my weight when she said yes. And we get two great young men, Tyler and Turner, and yeah. They both go to school in the States. One's just graduating from Michigan State.
Oh, right on.
In criminal justice, and the other one is just getting ready to start his master's in education with a special ed major.
Oh, wow. So quite kids have gone off to some high standards in education.
Yeah, we're empty nesters without really wanting to be empty nesters.
because they're doing their own thing. My wife and I are close to being empty nesters. My youngest has just turned 17, and we've discovered the summer of freedom. He's got his own life, and we sort of feel like empty nesters. We're doing things again, like dating.
I hear you. Yeah.
So I can't help but share stories like that. I know that you have quite the sorted professional background, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Right out of university, I got my commerce degree, commerce honors, and a marketing major. Didn't know what the heck I wanted to do. My rugby coach happened to work for Coopers and Lybrand Consulting way back when.
Oh, yeah, okay. Way back when, before they became part of PricewaterhouseCoopers.
That's right.
So they merged. Yeah.
So I typed up the resume and applied for the job, started off as a research associate, and it's just really grunt work. It's almost like you're apprenticing or somebody in a law firm that's got to dig through the books and get the cases ready and do all that sort of legwork. Well, that transformed into about 8 years in consulting, ending at I moved over to Deloitte's in their consulting practice and got to a point where I was either going to have to move away from Winnipeg, which at the time I didn't want to, or do real work and find out what it was like to walk in the shoes of somebody on a day-to-day basis. So that's what I did. Had a career starting off in marketing, product management, and progressed up through some senior management roles and through a couple of changes and iterations. Focus a lot of the time was in the cable television industry, telecommunications, and television itself too. And then it just, there was a point in time when I said, you know, I've always wanted to get back into consulting, and time was right. I just left an organization and took a real good 3 months to work through and say, if I'm going into it, it's both feet. And that was 5 years ago that I launched my own practice. So things have been going pretty well since then.
What's the name of the practice?
TK3 Consulting.
TK3. I'm curious as to why TK3.
Well, it's not because I grew up with Tim, Ted, and Tom, and it's not because I have Tim as my name and my sons are Tyler and Turner, but it is the review, refocus, recharge approach that I take to business performance improvement.
Yeah, so that's sort of your hallmark. You know, it's funny, I was just going to go there. Oh, you got three T's in your name by any chance, you know. It doesn't actually work that way. I'm sure you get that question a lot.
I do.
Yeah. You were saying about performance. Maybe what we can do is we can sort of talk about the review, refocus, and recharge sort of part of your practice.
Sure.
So maybe explain the three R's. Is it
sure.
three R's? Yeah, it's
three
R's.
It is three R's, yeah. And I'll probably go off a little bit on semi-tangents. One of them just happened this morning with my chiropractor. We were chatting about diagnosis. And I said, you're in a profession that if you don't diagnose correctly, you're certainly not going to have the right treatment. I said, it's just like a business consultant. If you're looking at an organization, if somebody says, I think I have a sales problem. Well, if you get in there and you're just looking for a sales problem, chances are you're probably going to find it, and it might not be right. That might not be the issue that you need to be addressing. So it's more important to take a step back and a more holistic approach, and not that you need to dive deep into everywhere, but with experience, you'll be able to identify pretty quickly where the challenge is. So review, identify the first area that you want to address. There's a phrase that I use, it's called prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. And it fits with obviously medicine, and it obviously fits in business consulting too. And you and I were chatting off air, and you talked about the years of experience that you have, and it's looking at, and in your opening monologue, it's looking at and understanding where do you develop the systems, all those types of things. Well, it's based on we identified the right things that we want to work on, yeah. Then we developed the systems to go on that.
Yes, that's sort of that proper business problem or business opportunity definition is what you're talking about.
That's right. And if you identify it correctly, it makes the next phase of the refocus, in other words, what you need to do to address that issue. And it's more than just saying, I'm going to fix the problem. It's like, all right, what are we going to do even better? We need to be better tomorrow than we are today.
So I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about refocusing. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm chatting with Tim, TK3 Consulting. We were talking a little bit about the three R's earlier on or in our first segment, Tim, and the first one being review. And I think you and I both are sort of on the same wavelength as this when it comes to business, is that clear business problem definition, clear business opportunity definition is extremely important in order to move forward. You've also mentioned one about refocus. So review is the first R. What's refocus?
Right. Well, there's a great little story that ties those two pieces, the review into the refocus. Solve the right problem. There's two guys walking through the jungle, and suddenly there's a tiger standing there. And the one fella bends down and starts taking his sandals off and putting on running shoes. And his buddy looks at him and says, what the heck are you doing? You're never going to outrun the tiger. He looks up. He says, I don't have to. I just need to outrun you. So when you're identifying your business problem and you're looking what you need to solve the right problem and then have the right solution. So runners in the backpack sounds like the right solution.
Yeah, sandals in the way.
Exactly. Yeah. So from a business perspective, once you've identified that problem and clearly identified it, now it's a question of bringing in the right type of information. So sometimes it's not just what you have internally, but you may have to go externally. You really need to find out from the customer, both your paying customer, and I think equally as important as your internal customer, your employees, those people that are delivering things. Get them on board. They've got insights that you'll never get because you don't have all those touch points with people on a regular basis. Now you build it into that coherent strategy. You know what that's like when you're identifying, and you talked about it in your monologue, Richard, about getting to a point where you build the right systems and content and processes for the right solutions. And that's the refocus phase. That's what you want to do at that point in time.
It's interesting to say that because one of my favorite videos is something called a deep dive. And the deep dive came out in the late 90s. Anybody can look it up. It's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But it talks specifically, it's systems thinking, right? And improving performance. And the owner of a company called IDEO basically speaks the same thing, where he says basically, you know, I don't really care what the problem is, right? We're more experts on the process. And whatever the problem is, we'll drop it into the process, and out the back end, we'll come up with a solution. We'll refocus, and we'll make sure that we get a solution that you require. And I think that's sort of what you're talking about.
It is, to a great extent. I still have that element of there needs to be some level of customization for each client, because there's those uniquenesses about it. But I really, truly believe that 80% at least is the same from industry to industry and company to company. But we just don't believe it, because we tend to be in those silos in those organizations. You know, my company is so unique and different. Well,
no.
It may be, but it's not really, no.
Yeah, it's interesting you would say that, because when I've done professional speaking or I've been doing a training program with multiple companies in there, they all ask the same questions. Yeah. And I actually have to tell them that, you know, unfortunately, your problem is not unique, because everybody has the same problem.
Right.
Right at some point in time. I know, I'm sort of sharing with you, because I know that you and I sort of, we play in the same sort of space, right? And
right.
So we have a lot of that commonality. We can sort of just throw stuff in and share it for our listeners. So hopefully you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. And I think that's the benefit of it too, is give people a level of comfort that you're not alone.
Yeah.
And that there are folks, and this is the shameless plug for you and me, that there's people like us that can help them with that situation. Sometimes there's a great phrase that a fellow by the name of Roy H. Williams, the Wizard of Ads from Austin, Texas, says, you can't read the label from inside the bottle.
Great,
and
great.
So we're the folks on the outside that can help them with that. We help uncover that blind spot.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. So refocusing the organization, looking at identify where performance can be improved. This sort of sounds like what you're talking about there. Is that
right.
Correct?
That's correct. And the one piece that I would really want to stress is strengths. Find out what your strengths are as an organization and where they are from a people perspective as well, too. I'm not going to use the term human capital. It's people. We're people.
Yeah.
And I think organizations and people do not build off of their strengths often enough to separate themselves from the pack. They look at those weaknesses. Now, if it's a glaring weakness or something that's debilitating, absolutely you got to address
it. You got to deal with it, yeah.
But if it isn't, focus on the strengths, and that's going to separate you from the rest of the pack.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference in many respects. I guess the other R that we have here is recharge. So let's talk a bit about that.
Well, that's the activation of it. And you know, you mentioned again earlier the implementation phase, and so many companies write a great plan, solve the right problem, everything is great, and then they fail at implementation. It's going to be that report that sits on the shelf. It's the, oh, great, we did that same plan last year, nothing happened. You need to make sure that your employees are on side, understand how this plan, solution, whatever it is, how they affect it and impact it and live it on a day-to-day basis. And then you communicate it to your customers too. Maybe this is where an ad campaign comes in of some sort. Maybe where it's some other public relations or things like that. Those types of pieces are part of the recharge side of things, to get people ready to say, all right, let's get better tomorrow than we were today.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I couldn't, I started thinking about a client that I had one time. An interesting thing they did is that I've worked with, I don't know about you, brown paper walls a lot in my past, but they actually had a hallway where everything would go up in the hallway. So as an employee there, you had no choice but to know visually what was going on with the company, what the solutions were going to be, because you could actually contribute to it. You know, and I almost see like recharging your organization like that, where you can almost have that space where people can contribute to the solutions and to the implementation of that solutions just by making sure that it's visually available to them.
I think that's a great idea. I endorse it 100%, and it fits in with another area of that recharge side, which is the accountability section. And it, for me, it goes, Richard, well beyond the term engagement. You know, you hear of employee engagement surveys, and Gallup has done it for years and years, and companies in North America have never really been above 30% of any kind of engagement. But if people are accountable, if people want to go into those rooms and write on the walls and contribute, and if their contributions are acted on, well, that's going to build engagement just by definition. So
yeah,
do those types of things first, then engagement's going to follow.
Yeah,
for sure.
Which is quite interesting, because traditional organizations might not be comfortable doing that. So what we'll do is we'll take a short break, and when we come back, maybe we'll talk a little bit about modern organizations, traditional organizations, and the types of challenges that you see within business.
That's great.
This is Richard Lanner for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Tim. Tim is from a company called TK3 Consulting. And basically, we've been talking a little bit about the three R's, and we cover those off: review, refocus, and recharge. Tim, I can't help but think about, actually, in the last segment, we're sort of starting to talk about the difference between modern versus traditional organizations, the whole idea of systems thinking and performance thinking, and then visual thinking.
Right.
So I think maybe I threw that in there. So I'm playing a little bit, I admit it.
That's all right.
I guess if we were to define the differences between what might be considered in today's business world a traditional company versus a modern company, what might that look like?
Well, for me, I think the traditional is just what it is. You know, it's that structured people sitting in their cubicles, or there's, you know, certain offices. And they're the accounts payable clerk from A to L, and the other one is from M to Z, and people have a hierarchy, and you've got to go through that process, and it's very, very structured. You look at the org chart, many levels, and it takes a while for things to go through. The term bureaucracy and maybe even civil service tends to come to mind a little bit on that, too.
I find it fascinating. Okay, so I have a 30-year background in the consulting industry and across a variety of different industries and everything. And at this time in my career, I'd like to think I've seen it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think so, but I mean, there's always surprises, right? But it amazes me that just think about conversations we used to have in the late 90s about traditional companies, right?
Right.
We're having that same conversation right now, right?
We are.
And by now, they're supposed to be gone, right? So sort of things sort of stay around, I guess.
Well, to some extent, and the modern company coming in with taking down those walls and making open offices and workspaces. The one thing that I found interesting, I read an article and it was about advertising agencies, and you know, a lot of the new agencies, the big ones, are, you know, taking down all those walls, except for the guys at the top of the food chain who still have the corner office.
They still have the corner office.
They still have the doors. They still have time to sit and think without being interrupted by 14 people and just those walking by going, you know, hey Richard, good morning. How you doing?
How's it going? What'd you do last night?
On a deadline. Oh, so you had fun?
I did work for a CEO at one point in time that he did take down the walls. But what was really interesting, all the staff walls were 6 feet or 5 feet, and his were like 7 feet. So he had the space, he had the foot and foot and a half space from the ceiling down or whatever it was. I don't remember if it was an 8-foot ceiling or a 10-foot ceiling, but you get the idea.
Right.
But still, he had partial walls, right? So always quite fascinating. And I think, you know, when you look at modern organizations, there is that sort of concept of open office and that. If we were thinking about, if we were just to brainstorm here, traditional versus modern offices, right? And we'll think of it from a performance perspective. What do you think some of the challenges would be?
Well, I think in the modern one of the biggest challenges is just that ability to have some privacy to think about something. Typically, those kinds of modern organizations are producing thought, or producing, maybe it's code, or they're producing something more on the creative side. I mean, it's certainly not going to be mass production with no walls and things like that. So people still need that opportunity to collect their thoughts, to put things down, to challenge it. But not with everyone else sitting in around and listening and things like that. You know, I just don't see that being really effective. There's been countless studies that have come out talking about the fact that people cannot be multitasking efficiently.
Yeah.
And they just keep coming up. Every year they do another one. And they say, you know, there's hundreds of billions of dollars in the North American economy that are lost because of multitasking.
But yet multitasking was a big thing at one point in time where everybody had to do it.
And you had to have it on your resume.
And then you had to have it on your resume that I could multitask. And now it's almost like, can you handle disruption?
Yes.
Right?
That's a great point. Yeah.
And I know about economic disruption in terms of changing economies and everything like Amazon did. But work disruption, you know, like what is the challenge with that from a performance perspective?
Well, again, I think that it starts to become a bit of the enemy of that consistency that you were talking about a little bit earlier that is important for organizations to have. So you have systems thinking, you have processes, you're searching for consistency. And yet, because people can very easily just step out and interrupt that process, might not just deliver that consistency that you're looking for at the end of the day.
Yeah. It seems like you're emphasizing the word consistency in what you're saying. You've been doing this for a while now. I'm always interested in what kind of challenges, based on your practice, right, the type of work that you're doing, what kind of challenges are you seeing that your clients are having?
That's a great question, Richard. And it varies a little bit, but a couple of the bigger areas are, I want to grow my business. Well, so you're looking at, how do you increase your sales? How do you grow into a new market? How do you expand outside of Winnipeg or Manitoba as an area of sales? The other one is on that whole concept of employee accountability and engagement. And the third area, I think, would be at the leadership level. Folks are just, you know, there's so many things happening. They're being bombarded by so many different components, and that ability for them to, when you're the CEO in particular, it's lonely at the top. So how do you get past that? How do you search for areas? You know, executive coaching is a big area. Some peer groups are other opportunities for CEOs to get into. So there are solutions for them, but I think those are kind of the three areas that I see the most.
Now, are you, can you give us some examples a little bit further, that maybe some of the projects that you've worked on where employee engagement and accountabilities was an issue, a concern, a problem that you had to solve?
Mm-hmm. I actually did a project for a local Winnipeg company, and again, shameless self-promotion, partnered with another certified management consultant out of Ontario that has created a program called Effective Point of Accountability. And he's worked with the University of Ottawa to develop this very complicated, on the analysis side, easy on the input. It's a questionnaire and evaluation process. But they don't just do the questionnaire. We also interview all the key people, and you're looking to find out where the confusion is in the organization that results in levels of accountability not being as high and people not doing the job that's going to provide value and help the organization grow and get better.
What might be
role confusion? You might have two people that think that they're supposed to deliver results. You might have, let's say, the marketing person and the salesperson. Now, that's a whole different show. We can talk about that. But in this case, it's who is ultimately responsible and who is given that clear accountability and authority to make things happen, to access resources from perhaps another department, and to be that kind of person that can bring in colleagues and say, look, this is the issue. I'll take the lead on it, but I need your help to get this solved.
It sounds like you're doing some stakeholder analysis. Right?
That is exactly what it becomes.
That
yes.
Responsibility, accountability, consultant form, the RACI. I'm assuming you know the tool.
I do.
Yeah. So I'm glad I just sort of set it up there. But I often find that people get that confused. You know, responsibility is about task, right? Mm-hmm. You deliver. Accountability is about the buck stops here.
Who's
right?
going to do it?
Who's
yes.
going to make the decision and stuff? And then consult is the subject matter expert. And inform is to keep me in the loop.
That's right.
And I'm glad you agree. I'm right on that one. but just sort of understanding that, just from a role confusion perspective for the key stakeholders in the organization, could maybe help solve a lot of issues.
It absolutely can. Sometimes in family-owned businesses, role confusion comes in during the transition of leadership from an earlier generation to the new generation, and that new person coming up, It's hard for people, employees, to get a sense of, well, is Ed Senior still the person?
Yeah, or is Ed Junior the person now
That's
in charge?
Right.
And who's actually really responsible and who's accountable here?
Who do I go to? I have a question. Do I go to Ed Senior, Ed Junior? Ed Senior's not here that much. He's got a condo down in Phoenix.
He's got a condo in Phoenix. And so is it Ed Junior? It's interesting you would say that, because I'm actually working through that similar situation right now with a client. And that's exactly the situation we're running into, is that the employees aren't too sure as to what to do. They're probably listening to the show going, thanks, I didn't say who you are. But because it's a common thing in family businesses where you have that succession that maybe is not that clearly defined.
That's right. It's a great phrase that I heard. It's called the thing in the bushes. It's the elephant in the room. It's a thing that people don't want to talk about, but is absolutely necessary to get back to that consistent performance and increase the level of accountability for people.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, maybe that's what we'll talk about. The elephant in the room.
Great stuff.
Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm in hanging out with Tim of TK3 Consulting. Tim, you know, just before a break, we were talking a little bit about the elephant in the room, succession planning. So
yes.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Monkey on your back, elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Moves on the table. I learned this like years and years and years ago. So now I'm going to ask you a question. Right. Well, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. What's monkey on your back? I'm going to just see if you can figure it out.
Get that monkey off your back. It's whatever's hanging over there that is dragging you down that you just need to get rid of.
The big issue, right? You know, and either you've got somebody else's, some of the literature on it, you have somebody else's monkey or it's your own monkey, right?
Right.
But, you know, so elephant in the room, we've already talked about, which is?
That big item that nobody wants to talk
about. Nobody wants to talk about, but it's there, right?
That's right. Okay.
So moose on the table. Have you ever heard that expression?
No, I've had moose on the table. It was really tasty, but I can't figure this one.
Moose on the table is an expression that's used in some literature in the consulting field. It's the issue that's right in your face. You have no choice but to deal with it.
Well, right? Yeah, moose on the table would certainly do that.
No doubt about it. Moose on the road, bam! Not a good experience at all. No. I couldn't help but, since you sort of closed the last segment off with elephant in the room, you know, and I think we all have elephants, don't we?
We do.
We do. We were talking a bit about challenges in terms of organizations and accountability and stuff. What else can we say in terms of some of the challenges that you've been experiencing?
I think the other element that I mentioned is that some companies just don't build off of their strengths enough.
Okay.
And they don't take that time to really say, this is what we're really good at. You know, if you listen to advertising, so many companies have to talk those general terms of great customer service and this and this and this. They don't take the time to say, actually, how do we want people to think of us differently than everybody else?
Yeah, that's
because that's what you want to be successful. Different.
Yeah, differentiation. Do
yes.
I got this pronunciation that correct?
You got
There's
it.
Some words just like, whoa, you know. That's an interesting concept when we talk about how are we different. Because when we're young, right, particularly when we're teenagers, we do everything to be different, right? We do weird stuff to our hair, we dress differently, we right, to have mm-hmm. that sort of individual presence. But then when you talk about companies, right, I've sat and listened and watched and helped executives just like yourself, right, to try to figure out what makes them different. And it's hard.
Prior to my consulting career, I was working in an organization that shall remain nameless at this point, but a little exercise I did was I took the company's mission statement and blanked out their name and then put their five major competitors, same mission statements up on the wall and blanked out the name. Well, the owner could figure his out quickly, looked at the rest of them and went, wow, we all sound the same. I said, and that's my point.
And that's your point, right? You know what? That's a great exercise. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We all sound the same. But now I'd be interested in the next conversation because the next piece would be, okay, then what makes you different?
That was really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot to get out of people. I just did a project with a different organization this past year, and it was the first time that they had used an external consultant to help them with their annual planning.
Okay.
And getting folks to really think about this took a lot of time. So there was, prior to the day of planning itself, we did a lot of pre-work. I interviewed everybody in the company, all their key people that supplied them and things like that. And we had exercises, homework exercises, and I forced them. I didn't let them get off the hook. And that's a key, I think, that you can't let yourself get off the hook with just trying to be vanilla and generic like everybody. Be honest about the things that you really believe you do well in. And the way to validate it is to do some customer research, some primary customer research. They'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. What makes you different or what makes you like everybody else?
Exactly.
Now, it's interesting you would say that because I remember from years ago, and you and I have a very similar background, right?
We
got out of university. We both started off as analysts, right? I'm doing your research, the grunt work, right?
Yeah,
that's basically
it.
What we did. But I used to work for this guy named Les, and he said value always equals some percentage of price and some percentage of quality,
mm-hmm.
right? And quality is something it has no meaning. Right? It only has meaning from your customer's perspective.
Right.
That's it. And in that lies your value and your difference between your competitors. Right? And so it was always an interesting thing to sort of talk to clients about that.
Well, and it's when I ask
people. That's 30 years ago.
And it's still valid today though, Richard. Yeah. One of the things that I do with folks is don't just give me those words that you want to use that everybody else uses. Give me some specific actions that when somebody reads that or hears that, they go, oh, well, that means you guys are a great quality service company. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, and that's actually quite a useful insight. Where do you think things are going business-wise? I mean, we're talking about challenges, right? So let's talk about like future successes or the future of where you see things are going.
Well, you know, in this connected world and Internet of Things, it's more stuff, faster, more data, everything else. Yeah. One of the concerns I have is the quality of data that people are using. And for a client of mine, they're expert in identity solutions management, and they find that company records are so full of duplicates and inaccurate information that you could be making a decision with a 15 to 30% inaccuracy rate. Well, if you're projecting sales to be 100% and you're off by 15 to 30%,
that's a significant amount of money.
You're going to be out.
Yeah.
Because you're counting that same person two or three times in your analysis. But Tim Kist equals Timothy equals T is still just the same person. Count me once, don't count me three times.
Don't count me three times. Love to have your money, though, three times.
Well, I'm sure they would, yes. But that's one thing. I think the quality of data that people can go through and make smart decisions. And I still believe that the human contact is going to be really, really important. Many folks are talking about how this upcoming younger generation, only wants to connect electronically and things. And I don't agree with that research 100% necessarily. I look at my two sons aged, coming up to be 22 and 25 years old.
Yeah, sort of young men.
And yes, they're connected and they can use all that stuff way better than their dad can, but they still like to sit down and have a conversation, and they'll look you in the eyes when they're talking. You know, it's one of the things our neighbors have always commented. It's, oh, I really like talking to your sons because they talk to you.
Yeah.
Same thing happens in a business. You know, we talked earlier about taking down the walls, having a good, honest conversation with people, looking them in the eyes and getting the issue on the table and resolving it properly.
Yeah, and I guess you can't always do that through just technology interfacing via social media or via texting, which is sort of the way a lot of global communications are going these days without commenting on anything.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It is sad, and it takes away. How can you really convey a true meaning in 140 characters? I mean, it's a quick, instant thought. And I think that's one of the problems is people don't think before they tweet.
Yeah. The other thing I think is quite interesting in terms of your human content. Every business leader I talk to, they will tell you that business is about relationships.
Yes.
You know, and the better we forge those relationships, the more successful we will be. They rarely tell me that business is about the bottom line. You know, I'm going to have an issue. Now, it doesn't mean they don't concern about the bottom line. It's just that they recognize, like the real successful leaders, they recognize relationships are key to their own success.
If you deal with that, first of all, the bottom line will take care of itself. It's one of the pet peeves I've had over the years is this whole concept of B2B versus B2C. Even in B2B, a company has never made a purchase. A person in a company has made a purchase, which gets back to your point of creating the relationship with the person from that company that's going to buy your product or service.
Yeah, and so that becomes an important part of I guess, performance success, because we sort of started talking about consistent performance. Do you agree? Does that sort of fit in there?
It does, and it, you know, you kind of tie in from my background in coaching at the university level and things. It's football with the Bisons, you know, go Herd this year, and it's you're fixing the problems, but you're building off of the strengths that you have as players. You can have a certain concept, but if you're not got the players,
you can't do it. Somebody who get in touch with you, how would they go about doing it?
tk3consulting.ca is the website, and tim@tk3consulting.ca is an email. That's the information is on the website as well too, and I just hope that it's finally active, because you and I chatted yesterday that I've had some challenges with my hosting company.
Okay. Tim, great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thoroughly enjoying the conversation. I'm sorry to say, but our time's up, and I'd be love to do a lot more. So thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
If you are a listener, thank you for tuning in. No doubt, I love it when you join in and actually connect with me. So if you have a final thought or question or anything, just email me at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.